First, our induction talk about big browsers watching you. So the whole topic is about comparing the HTTP protocol and the Gopher protocol, which has several categories. I will compare its complexity, security, privacy, and implementation stability-wise. Stability is more like if you invest into it, what will happen. I hope you people hear me. Because you're still dancing, or you fell over when I stopped the music. Can you hear me? I want to see your hands up into the air. DJ, we hear you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The delay, of course, there's a delay. So, next. First, we will talk about this strange protocol called HTT protocol, Hypertext Transfer Protocol. It was first released in 1991 as version 0.9. We all know who did it. It was Mr. Berners-Lee. Since most people in the Bitrush are in the Berners-Lee kicking club, you know his face. You have to kick it. First version 1.0 was released in 1996. And then there were many iterations with updates in 1997, 1999, and 2014. And as of today, there have been new releases because of various technical problems Google ran into because of bloat. Do you speak English? I speak English. It's like asking if we can hear. It's like asking. No DIM card. The thing is that I have no response if you hear me. So that's why I have to ask if people hear me. Okay. So let's talk about the different protocol versions. This is HTTP 0.9. It looks really good. Get something and you return HTML. Of course, the HTML doesn't look good. It's HTML, but still, it's not really complex. So next thing is HTTP 1.0. You had different requests now, get, head, post, all of that. And you had headers, they are like MIME, and in the first releases they even considered using the whole MIME standard, MIME. But MIME is really complex. If you ever looked at it, you have like headers which can overlap, headers which can concatenate, headers with different names, you can include content via FTP, via different protocols. At least they didn't do that. So you have get head, you have like something like user agent, the server sends you back http/version 200, okay, content type server, and of course the content. So let's see how this evolved further. We have HTTP 1.1. As you can see, on one page only fits the client part. You have get, head, post, pull, put, delete, trace, options, whatever, get it, and HTTP 1.1. Host, of course, because of virtual hosting. The user agent is still staying there. Gina Fish is saying the user agent is the most stupid thing a person could think of. But this is something we will have to consider, because in the comparison between Gopher and HTTP, this is one part which makes you reconsider really using HTTP. I mean, we are forced to use it because the majority uses it, but we shouldn't really use it. Then have, of course, except for different probabilities no one really implements of different MIME types, then accept language also with different probabilities, different encodings which are now extended to Broadly, and all of that, referral of course, and all other kinds of headers you can add. It all got more and more complex, and as a response, of course, this got more complex too. You have HTTP 1.0, 200, okay, then you have a huge list of error codes, all of them are long lists which no one really uses. They're all defined by the W3C as a committee. Then you have the connection keep alive. This is the new feature because people were too stupid to implement TCP/IP, and ISPs were too stupid to make proper connections, so the latency to open a new connection was too slow for them. So they made this keep alive mode where you can send another request in the same TCP/IP connection
and get a different result. Then you have content type, text, HTML, LNR with charset, where you can request this. No one really uses that because you now have like four or five ways to define the charset of the result. You can do that in the XML, you can do that in the HTML, you can use it the header. It's all possible now. In the end, all the browsers use some automatic detection thing. That's how this whole thing evolved. Then you have date, you have the server, yeah, real Indian 969. Then vary, this is cookie and accepting cookie. Then the age, this is for the e-tag, for the cache of the browser. There are many ways to do all the same things because someone extended it and now everyone is supporting all of that. Now look at HTTP2. I really didn't show you all the packets because it's really complex protocol, because now you have over this TCP connection multiplexing. If you people remember WebSockets, that's what it is. There many files can be retrieved, you can have many connections inside of it, you can have many services inside of it. On top of it, there's a binary encoded to HTTP, the old versions, but all this starts with GET and then upgrade to the version. So you still have to send many packets before you get to the real connection. So all they do, I mean, look, we're looking back at the 0.9. This is one TCP connection. You send something, which is short, and you retrieve an answer. And here, you first send this to get an answer, then you switch to a binary protocol, which requires latency for back and forth. Then you open the multiplexing, because you have a handshake inside of the HTTP2. It's getting even more complex. I mean, and all of this is done in TLS. TLS requires like three or four round trips, depending on what you do. Nothing is getting better here. Then, of course, there's HTTP3, because Google always thinks they are better and they know everything better, because they realize that TCP/IP is too slow for them, and since they never properly read the specification, they think they have to do everything again in UDP. But here's the problem: is UDP doesn't order your packets, and you won't get a constant data stream, which, for example, Gopher relies on, or simple protocols rely on. So it gets more complex. You have to take care that all the packets you receive are in the right order. This is called the quick protocol. So now you have this TCP thing in your own TCP replacement over UDP over IP. Yeah, in the end, it does this. It does HTTP 0.9. It doesn't do anything else. But maybe Google will realize that in 5 years or something. So on top of all of that, of course, is HTML with all of its iterations. You have X8 HTML, you have HTML1, different, but this is not part of it. This is on top. But I have to mention it because, of course, we will talk about Gopher menus. And HTML is what you're supposed to serve over HTTP. And this gets really complex. You have CSS, XHTML, WebGL, all strange standards to extend whatever the industry needs now. Then you have JavaScript, of course. We have to mention this because of the privacy comparison. It's a full scripting language. It has JIT compilers, just-in-time compilers. It has access to your memories, it has access to your USB devices, it has access to your 3D hardware. It is used to exploit CPU memory level bugs. Why don't we just exchange opcodes for the CPU instead? It would be fast. I guess that's what the next step is. Look at the WebAssembly. That's what we get from it. And of course, there is, I guess, Senior Fish mentions there's Java applets, but Java applets are gone. They were killed for a good reason. Yeah, there was the whole history of objects in HTML, like you had objects from Windows with ActiveX and Visual Basic .script, all different. But I'm talking about what we have now as a big standard. Senior Fish is saying his government is still using Java applets for ESA, and yes, you're living in Turkey. I know, Turkey. You're not living in a Turkey. Then, of course, you have HTTP with TLS, but that's simply using TLS. Of course, this was not enough for all the web people. So instead of just plainly using TLS, they have their own certificate signing and their rules for certificates. Yes, make it more complex so people are unable to implement your standard. But we will talk about that. Why? What's the reason for this? Now we come to the Gopher protocol. It was first released in 1991, and it has the feature included for a hierarchy, which is based on the menus. And in the standards, the menu is defined, not like HTML, where you have this big specification problem, where like Netscape implemented a different HTML to Internet Explorer. Here, you can't really do anything wrong because you have. We will take a look at it. It's meant to be simple. In the next talk, I will show you the historical document, how this is defined, what was the original reason for Gopher and the goal for Gopher. But that's for the next talk. Next, we have Gopher Plus, but luckily this never grew up because Gopher Plus was a bit like, I'm going back to HTTP 1.1, like you have these headers, then they wanted to have metadata for admin and a scripting language. Luckily, this never grew up because it would have made the same mistakes like the web is doing now. Now, what's the complexity of Gopher? This is just made because people could listen to this talk who or watch it. Who never saw Gopher. So the client sends a selector, the server responds. It's easy. And the client sends a selector with a tab view later of a search. This is like an input, so you can give some input to some script or something. And then you get back a response. Nothing else. There's no header. Here's the Gopher menu. This is standardized. You have the item type. This is just one char. Then comes the text. Oh, I put a tabulator map. Then the selector, server, and port. It's always the same. And of course, this is the new thing from last year, which we introduced, is Gopher TLS. I mean, there's no real big definition because not many people use Gopher, but it was simple to add. You just read the first byte. So instead of having like a big upgrade protocol to TLS or a different port, we easily reuse what's already defined for Gopher to have backwards compatibility to all the servers. So they should not accept what's in the TLS packet as first byte. They should simply refuse it. And if you get a TLS refusal, you, depending on your security policy, you connect again or not. It's really easy. And depending on the future developments of the TLS library, you get more security features or less. But it's just replacing the library, nothing else. We just use this one byte in the Gopher standard. And it's valid because the byte would be invalid. In one of the next talks, we will talk about such a usage of a missing byte too. Like yesterday, where we found out about cat point and that it allows metadata in front of the first slide. Yes, Melling's asking, so no separate port is needed for Gopher TLS? Yes. There was a proposal for Gopher TLS with a separate port, but there you of course have the problem of missing manpower. It's mostly hobbyists who don't have the time to meet in some committee to make an RFC, a request for comments at IATF. So we just use what's there, and that way it's easier. It's just probing one byte. Let's see. We have to compare both protocols. HTTP uses TLS. Gopher uses TLS, but so it's technical equality. Very good. Let's see. I have to applaud this because we reached this last. So no one can tell you that where's TLS in Gopher? Yes, it's there. Just use it. Then privacy comparison. This is a huge topic. As all of you know, there's, for example, the Tor browser. The Tor browser tries to get the browser for people who are like whistleblowers and dictatorships, and they need to be protected. Because, of course, this whole complexity, like some header or some, I will go back to HTTP1. Yeah, everything like the user agent, all of this can be used to make a big hash for the user who's requesting it, like the accept header. This is different from browser to browser, from version to version. And when you're using like a user agent combined with an accept header and the order of the headers, then this is be used to make a footprint. And then you have the cookies, you have I didn't mention this because these are separate. It's getting too complex. Now back to the comparison. And there's no, actually, the people of Tor browser found out that there's no real way to prevent footprinting, because in the end they made it so common, all the values, like you had to make your window 1024 to 7068 pixels because this is easy to get via JavaScript. But then people realized no one is using that resolution anymore, only Tor people. And that made them, of course, easy targets again. And users have no control over this. There's internal cookies, JavaScript, which can read, I mean, you can really easily read out the order of fonts. This is used for example, for footprinting. You have the fonts which you can use in the browser. And the order, or it's a big string where all of them are in a list. This is used to find out who you are, because it's always different. Depends, for example, on your Gentoo, depending on how your fonts are compiled, this will change. Zenia says, on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. That's true, but if you have the behavior of a non-dog, they will find out that you're not a dog. So you have to behave like a dog. This is why this is not true anymore, Zenia. So depending on that, they will find out. And Facebook has this. Next is CSS, JavaScript. These allow to reuse bugs in the browsers to find out what else you're reading. It's all a big security nightmare. Privacy in Gopher, there are no headers, so all of this problem is gone. Dimitri is asking, isn't Gopher over IPv4 version 6 with TLS and Tofu much simpler in Tor as a Gopher privacy security layer? Dimitri, no, it isn't. No, we will come to that. Look at this. First, there's tracking. All you can track in Gopher is easily defined because it's a such so simple protocol. You could track someone by IP, you can change that. You could say track someone by selector, like you have some session ID or how he selected. Of course, that depends on human behavior. You can't change this because you would have to simulate someone else. But then you see the Gopher Onion project, and there's where Dimitri's thing is coming in. It's all different layers. Tor gives you anonymity and protection by the by where you're connecting to, because the hash is the protection, the check, and the destination, and of course the onion routing. So IP version 6, it's just you're asking a question which cannot be really answered, but Tor is just a different tool. It's a different layer and a different tool. IP version 6 is just a different network. TLS is just a protection which could give you back information about the server. So over using TLS over onion, you only need it when you exit the onion network. Dynamic IP version 6 is asking Dimitri. Well, but dynamic IP version 6, he's saying you can't be fingerprinted by address. Of course you can be fingerprinted by address, because the dynamic IP version 6 is based on your MAC address. You have to change that. And they know where you're coming from. They know the route where things are going. This is why you have Tor. Tor is changing the routing, and you don't know where the packet is going through. This is a feature. But in dynamic IP version 6, you could be right next to the CII, to the GLOWIs, and they will find you. So this is not really a security feature, it's obscurity, but it's no proven security or anonymity feature. So this is you need random paths, as Yashua is saying. So let's look at the implementations. We will look at fully fledged implementations of the protocol as of now. Let's see HTTP. There is Chromium. I mean, you can try to check out Chromium, but it will take days. So I'm just comparing how big it is on the disk space when you extract the tarball, which is 12 gigabytes. Then there's Apache HTTPD, which is the example of an HTTP daemon implemented with all features because it's a reference. It's 230,000 lines of code. It's really big. Let's look at Gopher. There you have, so the first one is just implementation of a simple client. It's just sending the printer printing something to Netcat and then extracting the text information. And then we have SAC, which is the reference implementation of Bitreich, which is maintained by Qwink. It's 1924 lines of code. And GeoMIDI, which we are running, it's 2040 lines of code. Six is saying, a while ago, Chromium build timed out on pre-built cluster after 30 hours of compilation. So FreeBSD has a timeout for packages of 30 hours. Well, I'm on my new machine with 16 cores and 64 gigabyte of RAM. I also compile Chromium. It takes 4 hours, but it's really slow. Now, let's compare stability. Stability means should you invest now into a protocol when you're implementing it as a company, or shouldn't you do that? Because if something is, of course, changing too much, you will have to change too and invest into Zensler's extensions. A stable protocol is easier for interoperability. So HTTP is changing over and over again. As you can see above, you have HTTP2, you have HTTP3, maybe tomorrow there's HTTP4 and HTTP5, then HTTP6 and HTTP10, and then we have a problem with the version numbers because someone implemented HTTP1 and a bad checking for the version numbers, as we have seen in Chromium and Firefox with the version 100. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable. And the actual, that's what I was talking about, is that Google is using the protocol as a political playbook because they were already talking about unifying all of the web under Chromium. Once they have done that, of course, they can change the protocol as they like, and they can pretend that you are compatible, but they can change JavaScript, they can change the API they are using. They can add some hidden API, they can add some hidden plugin to get some data for DRM, digital rights management. As a senior fish is saying, have you mentioned the security hole of a proxy server that tried to convert between binary HTTP and text-based servers? Senior fish, this is complexity problems which of course arise from the different versions because of course you can still use the simple protocol to connect everywhere and they will fall back to compatibility mode. This is one good thing. This is what they will keep and this is what makes it accessible to everyone. But the conversion internally, I mean, this is a really huge problem. We had it with XML, we had it with binary. And the more complex things get, the easier stupid developers will create big bugs which destroy the internet. See, look at Cloudflare. Cloudflare is going down now and then because it got uncontrollable. Or look at it when some Amazon data center is going down. Then whole infrastructures are going down. This is not a decentralized internet as we should have it. So this is really unreliable protocol. I think this is what we can agree on. Don't use HTTP. It's for sissies. Now let's look at Gopher. Gopher, stable for years. No one has interest in changing it. We just adapt it to our needs, but there's not much to adapt because it's simple. See how people moved to Gemini because they couldn't reform the Gopher. because Gopher is stable. If you change something, you will change the backwards compatibility. We are proud of, because you have really old servers which you can still use with Gopher, but soon you can't use that in the web. Look at how they removed FTP and so on. And this is perfect long-term investment for anyone who wants stability. No one wants to hurt you unless Google, they want to hurt you. They want to take away your resources so they win on the market. So let's come to the summary. The summary is, if you want stability, simple implementations, because remember, there's one major bug in 1,000 slog source code lines, and you're best off using Gopher in any future product. If you need privacy to protect your life from the dictator, use Gopher over Tor, of course. And Google is evil. So let's join the Berners-Lee Clicking Cup. We will meet on Saturday and Sunday in Belgrade, if you want to come. But this is a secret meeting. Don't talk about the Berners-Lee Kicking Club, okay? Anyone got some questions about this? I want to make it a short comparison, because you can compare everything. You could compare all the complexity, but this is more about showing people in the future why we choose Gopher over HTTP. I mean, I guess in 2 years, you can extend this whole thing to new versions and more and more. Oh, I see no questions. Thank you very much, everyone. Let's see, I will add some applause. It's nice to have these effects. Thank you very much.